He's the kind of man who wouldn't leave you a crumb on a plate. If City ring up this morning and say, come on then, what's the price? He will say it's X. It's not X minus 10%.
OTB AM, live weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
Daniel Harris, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. It was about as interesting and entertaining an opening weekend of football as we could have hoped for. A lot of stuff that was stereotypical big teams beating small teams happened, and then thankfully some really big teams didn't perform the way we expected them to. So that's always good.
Yeah, it was a great weekend, and I think that we could probably have predicted that, because what we've got is we've got more good teams than we've had in a long time. If any team that wins the league this season will deserve it, because you would think that there will be at least two of them that can sustain a challenge. But what you've also got is you've got the teams lower down the league that are able to hang on to their players and improve, rather than constantly be fighting when they have their best players taken from them.
That helps, right? For us as people who want to watch good football.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think I'm still slightly concerned that it's going to take a really significant points tally to win the league this season, because the better teams just have so many options. But you have a lot of teams that are able to beat any of the good teams on a good day. And what you want is, I think this is one of the things that sustained English football. There's all this notion that English football is the most competitive. But if you look at it over the course of the decades, there's usually a dominant team or two dominant teams. But what you get on a week-to-week basis is you're not sure how it's going to go. And it's that week-to-week basis, because obviously you had Liverpool won everything for in the 70s and 80s, more or less. Man United won the 90s and the, what do we call the decade to come after the 90s? I don't think the aughts is really tolerable, is it? But whatever it's called. And then now you've got Manchester City dominating now. So you can look and say, well, you usually could guess who's going to win the league at the beginning of the season. But what you get is you get surprise league winners every now and again, but also you're not sure who might beat who every Saturday. And it's that jeopardy that is what sustains English football, and one of the main reasons I think why English football is the game that is dominating the world at the moment.
I saw somebody making the conclusion, or drawing the impression, that we saw more successful dribbles last weekend from a bunch of players than we would have seen from almost all of last season, because every time a player completed a successful dribble, the crowd went wild and they were like, well, I'm going to do that again because I really enjoy that. And look, I don't know if it's cause and effect and if we massively overread into the first day of the season, but I think it's going to be very interesting to see what impact fans back in the stadiums have, particularly on those middle tier and those lower tier teams. Whereas last year they might have tried something slightly outrageous, knowing that actually, you know, there's no repercussions for this. But if you're a Villa player or a Norwich player or one of those players who suddenly has the crowd on your back, are you going to be as brave as you were last season when you were already 2-0 down? I'm not sure.
I think that it can work up different ways depending on different personalities. I'm absolutely certain there were players who really sort of enjoyed lockdown football, pandemic football, because they're players who don't feed off the crowd. And I mean, there are other teams. I mean, the most obvious example is Liverpool, who went from not losing a game at Anfield for 73 years to losing 73 times last season. And it's easy to say, well, the great Anfield crowd and all that kind of nonsense. And it isn't that. It's just that certain styles of play require a lot of energy. And to get that energy and to get that additional adrenaline that makes you run harder and faster than your opponents, knowing that there's a crowd there can be helpful. And similarly, I imagine the lack of a crowd bothered Man City the least. And again, this isn't because, well, Man City have got no fans and yet it had to quiet. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that they play quite a composed, bloodless style of football. And for that kind of game, I don't think that the adrenaline that the crowd give you is particularly significant. I hope that we see more teams who are lower down the league winning more home games against teams who are higher up the league. I think that that is also significant, not just in influencing the players, but probably in influencing the referees as well. And now the referees have a little bit more discretion to interpret the laws as they see fit rather than have them interpreted for them. I think, again, we might see, and I hope that we do see, more surprise results because you've got that additional factor of the crowd. And then what you were talking about in terms of dribbles, I remember someone saying, can't remember who it was, that in English football, people in whichever football they came from, think it may have been Spanish football, people cheer a goal or a nice pass. In English football, people cheer a tackle. And I'm hoping that we'll also see more tackles, particularly again, so there's a bit more leeway to interpret the laws of the game now for the referees. And what it sort of reminded me of was the group stages of the Brazil World Cup. And you're probably sitting there thinking, what is this idiot on about now? But the group stages of the Brazil World Cup were great. And I think one of the reasons they were great is that no one wanted to go to Brazil, the home of Jogo Bonito, and embarrass themselves by playing crap football. And so teams went and they committed to attack, and we saw a lot of good games, a lot of unexpectedly good games. And I think, and I hope, that that's what's going to be the case now, that teams haven't played in front of their fans for a year. Do they really want to shame, antagonise and bore their fans? Or do they want to put it all on the line and give their fans everything that they've been missing? And while they themselves as players are kind of consumed by what it must take. I mean, often you watch football matches and I kind of think, I've no idea how these players cope with this. If I was playing professional football, I'd be spending half the time just crying and laughing at my good fortune and trying to handle the buzz of it. But players have that ability to convert like the potential of the crowd, that energy that could go either way, into something positive and challenging. And the presence of the crowds now, having not had them, I think is gonna do that, and we're gonna see much better football as a consequence. The football we'll see this season will be a million times better, hopefully, than the kind of masquerade we saw last season.
Yeah, hopefully. I do want to ask you a little bit about the United performance at the weekend. Is this what we should expect in terms of the Pogba level of ability, or is that something that comes up specifically when you get the opportunity to play against a Leeds side who didn't have Phillips and maybe are, I don't know, having a slow start or something? What explains Pogba's performance at the weekend?
You might think, if anything, that Leeds would be a difficult opponent for Pogba because they go man-to-man, so someone's going to be on his arse all the time, and it's going to be a hard physical game at a time when you wouldn't expect Pogba to be fit. And Pogba looks really strong and really fit, so no, I wouldn't expect four assists from him every week. But if you've got the rest of the team working, then you can afford to allow Pogba to go and do damage, particularly if it's a team who are coming to attack. So you're not looking to guard against the counter quite as much because they're already pushing forward in the first place. I think that if you remember the way United started last season, which was terrible and they just looked not fit, I think this season it's a little bit different because, I mean, I don't know. When they're on half-term, and Ole said, when he was asked about how the players were going to come back, he said that the players had been given instructions and had been told what to do, and he didn't know whether or not they were going to do those things but until they came back, but they'd been told. And, I mean, I'm extrapolating here, but I guess when they were told, they probably weren't told in those terms, because for the first time since Fergie, there's competition for places at United. If you turn up and you're not fit from your holidays and everyone else is fit, you won't play. And that's going to continue to be the case. United now have enough options to leave out any player that they want. If that player's not performing, or if that player isn't doing what the manager and the coaches are asking. And Pogba is just as much one of those players that he's got to fight for his place in the team. And whatever people say about Pogba, he loves playing football. I mean, he plays football when he's not meant to be playing football. I think the difference with Pogba is sometimes that his intensity is not where it needs to be for the level of competition at which he's playing. But now, if that's the case, he just won't play. And particularly if he's already committed to leaving, then there's a further excuse to leave him out. So if he decides that he doesn't want to put it in, then he won't. Then we won't see as much of him. And I think that United now are playing with a certain level of confidence and authority that you didn't see them play with last season, particularly if you look at Harry Maguire and Luke Shaw.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing to say, that I think Scott McTominay also, that players who've had massive disappointments, I think, have come back with increased confidence, because Scott McTominay now knows that he can go and play in a European final and be the best player on the pitch. He was the best player on the pitch against Villarreal by far. And the fact that United didn't win was nothing to do with him whatsoever, and it was him that actually forced the equalising goal.
Okay,
and he'll have come back.
It's interesting you bring him up, right? Because there was a big question last year about the need to play the two defensive central midfielders because the confidence in the centre backs wasn't that high. Does the arrival of Varane, and assuming he gets into the team sooner rather than later, does that mean that they don't need to play Fred and McTominay anymore? Or is actually what they're going to do play Fred and McTominay, and then that gives you the freedom to have Pogba in your side, and all of a sudden you're incredibly difficult to score against, but you do have that array of attacking talent that actually, on balance, you're going to be in and win more games, especially more of the big games?
I don't know. I think it'll be case-by-case basis. I had a problem with the way Ole was doing it last season because he was moving Rashford to the right where he was less effective and playing Pogba on the left, and that meant that Greenwood couldn't play. And I think we saw at the weekend, I mean, we saw it last season as well, that Greenwood is now just too good to leave out. He should have, I mean, he started the Europa League final possibly because of injury, but he should have started it anyway. As far as I'm concerned, he gets in United's best team. Doesn't, like, wherever it happens to be, he is now much too good to leave out. And what happens with the rest of it, I think probably depends on the opponent, but you're right in what you say about the fact that they've now got Varane in the defence. It means they can play a bit higher, and it means they've got some more recovery pace, and they've got someone who's a great one-on-one defender. So that should enable them to play one holding midfield player. I mean, I thought they should have done that anyway. But it's not just Varane, it's the fact that Maguire and Luke Shaw have gone to a tournament, and they've been arguably the best players in their position at that tournament. And it now feels like they have a bottom level that they're confident they can hit every time. So that a lot of the time they're playing almost like Shaw in particular, looks like he's playing not off memory, but he's just so comfortable in his ability to give a 7 out of 10 that he can do that without really putting it in. But they're playing with that additional authority that you see the way that Maguire is now bringing the ball forward. He wasn't, and the way that he's now hitting long passes, he's always been able to do that, but he wasn't doing that as much last season as he did it for England and as he did it in that game for United. So I think that they do have a lot of options. I don't think that when everyone's fit, I would be wanting to see Pogba on the left wing, although I can totally see why you would play him there, because you're trying to get him in the team. Because one of the things you get with Pogba is you also get that additional physical presence. You get someone, and I think that when he was at his best and when he had that good run last season, that was one of the most impressive things. It wasn't just the passing and the goals and the assists and the skill. It was the fact that he was a good defensive presence at corners, and he would be winning second balls, okay, and he would be able to shield the ball because physically he's able to do that. And United don't have that many players in that team who are able to do that. But as far as the defensive midfield player goes, I think that, yeah, McTominay is a much better player than Fred.
Okay, so to summarise, it's not that there is a specific best 11 that will always be the best 11 under every circumstance. It's that they now have options, and depending on what game plan you're trying to inflict on your opponent, then there might be a case for the two central defensive midfielders to play, and there will be cases where only one of them will play, and in that instance, you would prefer to see McTominay. Is that a fair summation of what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. But what you've also got is you've got a team that now can play in quite a fluid manner. So what you see McTominay and Fred running in front, running ahead of the strikers, you give Pogba a free roll, and the only way you can do that is if everyone knows their job. And I said last week the United had looked really sharp in pre-season, and they were going to be, whether they or not they win the thing is unclear, obviously, but they're going to hand out some absolute hidings. And the reason they're able to do that is because they have a lot of players, and the longer they play with each other, the more they know what they do. And people have been saying, well, these coaches don't know what they're talking about. Are they going to Solskjaer as a PE teacher? United just, they're managing to win games because eventually some of their good players will either combine to do something or there'll be a piece of individual brilliance. But I think what you're seeing now is you're seeing the understanding that you get from players that have played together for a couple of seasons, are being given clear instructions about what they want to do, and they're now confident enough and good enough to pull them off, and the management are confident enough to let them go and do it.
Okay, one last United-related question. What do you expect to happen with Pogba's contract? Because if you're a business advisor advising him, the best thing from his perspective to make the most money is to become a free agent at the end of this season. That's what your advice would be. The best thing from a football perspective might well be to knuckle down, play here now that you've reached a level of comfort and the team is playing to your strengths. But maybe you want to go back to Paris. I don't know. So what do you actually expect to happen?
I think my guess is that Pogba doesn't know yet. I think that because he's in a situation where he's pretty happy at United and he would happily go back to Paris or to Turin or to Barcelona. Like they're all good options for him. So I think that if Paris had offered enough for him this summer, obviously they ended up spending their money elsewhere. But if they'd offered enough for him this summer, he'd have gone. He'd have been happy to go. United would have moved on from him. But what you see now is that it might be that United get really good and he decides that that seems like a better thing to do. I mean, you look at Paris now and you think, how on earth is Mauricio Pochettino going to impose his style of football when he's got a forward line of Neymar, Mbappe and Messi? Then when you think, well, I guess he can get his midfielders to run like psychopaths, but if you add Pogba to that, as soon as you play a team with legs, it feels like you're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
So perhaps Paris won't want him anymore. I don't know. But my guess is that Pogba doesn't know. So I could predict, I wouldn't be that surprised if he signed a new contract now at United, because that would be money that he can rely on and bank rather than wait and see what happens elsewhere in the summer. And the team now are getting good, so that you can see that the pleasure he was obviously showing on the pitch on Saturday, like, he's not making that up. He's enjoying himself.
Yeah, okay.
And if he feels good and the team are winning, then I think at that point, if you wave a load of money in front of him, enough money that he would happy to sign, then there's probably a pretty good chance he'll do that. Whether United should do that, I mean, I generally find it, yeah, you find it quite easy to look at a team and say, well, this one should be kept, this one shouldn't. I've never swithered on a player like I swither on Pogba, because there are so many enormous yeses and then also some nagging no's, and none of those things are going to change.
Okay, well, I mean, I think that it's that inconsistency that's the thing, but if you were to get that consistently, you'd have one of the best players in the world who can impact games and who fits a system, because you've worked around it and you kind of understand exactly how it goes. And that I think is the lightning in the bottle that everybody's trying to catch. I want to ask you about the Ronaldo speculation at the moment. I mean, obviously no one's writing him off considering his capability of being written off and then coming back and scoring goals. What level of impact would he have in the Premier League for any of the teams he's been linked with over the last...
I'm sure he'd score a lot of goals. I'm sure that none of the teams that want to win the title will touch him, because once you have him, it's not dissimilar to Pogba in a way, that once you have that player, you're kind of under pressure to play them all the time, because if you don't, it's a story and it's just a pain in the ass. So I think that the teams that are near the top of the league, they're not just looking to challenge for the league, they're looking to build something. And you're not going to be able to build something, whether it's something for the future, because he's not got that many years left, or a coherent team, because if you have a player like Ronaldo, it's really hard to have a coherent team, because there's only so much you're going to get out of him at this point in terms of running and positional discipline. So I would be surprised to see him come to England now, because I don't think that anyone who could afford him or any of the clubs that he would want to go to will be interested in wearing him. But if he did come, I'm sure he'd score an absolute skin for the goals.
Is he perfect for City? I don't think he's going to sign for them just because.
But I mean, yeah, you could see why it would be, but because they just do need someone to stick the ball in the net. But I think for Pep Guardiola, it's not just about sticking the ball in the back of the net, it's about the method. And whether Ronaldo could play with Guardiola's method, I'm not so sure. Is he fit enough to press from the front in the way that Guardiola wants to? I mean, he's physically in unbelievable nick. I mean, I'm not sitting here and saying Ronaldo's not fit enough when, yeah, I'm sitting here not quite as fit as Ronaldo, but does he have the desire to play the way that Guardiola wants to play? Or does he represent, in a way, the antithesis of Guardiola's ego? That he thinks that the way that he wants to play is the way that you have to play, and that he doesn't want someone like Ronaldo, because I guess when Ronaldo was playing for Madrid and Guardiola was at Barcelona, Madrid were kind of about economy of effort and effectiveness, and Barcelona were about flowery passing. You can see how it would be possible, but, and maybe Guardiola will get desperate, but it doesn't seem like Ronaldo is the kind of fit, because also Guardiola likes choir boys. Yeah. He likes people that do what they're told.
Yeah.
And Ronaldo's been running a dressing room that's been managed by Zidane not that long ago. So yeah, I think I'd be surprised.
No, I would be surprised too. But I think he actually might be the thing if they're not going to get Harry Kane. Last question for you. And on the 1st of September, where is Harry Kane playing football?
Tottenham.
Right. That will be interesting.
But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a guess for all of us at this stage. It's a guess for Harry Kane at this stage, which, you know, suggests that maybe he needs someone slightly better advising him in future. Daniel, good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us.
See you again. Have a good day, everyone.
Daniel Harris giving us some thoughts there. 12 minutes past 8. If you want to get involved, leave a comment on the YouTube stream.